Welcome to Alaska Edition, a weekly public affairs program produced by Alaska Public Media in the studios of KAKM.
Hello and welcome to Alaska Edition on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Ann Hillman. This week's topic is Aaron's Law, which was recently introduced again in the state legislature. Aaron's Law would mandate all public schools to teach sexual abuse prevention curriculum to all students, grades K through 12. It also requires education and awareness for teachers. Today, our guests will discuss what lessons are already being taught around Alaska to students of all ages. In our studios at Alaska Public Media, we have Julie Dale, an educator with Standing Together Against Rape, and Melanie Sutton, the Health and Physical Education Coordinator from the Anchorage School District. Over Skype, we have Paula Cenero, who's a public health nurse who's working with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium to teach about sexual health throughout rural Alaska. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
So Paula, let's start with you. What are the areas of the state that you're working in, and how much education are the kids there receiving about sexual abuse and sexual health?
Well, I work as an itinerant public health nurse for the Yukon Flats subregion, all the way from Arctic Village down to Tanana and over to Nulato. And I also work with the Domestic Violence Prevention Initiative project with Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. And with that Domestic Violence Prevention Project, we have 10 tribal partners throughout the entire state, all the way from Barrow to Metlakatla. With that partnership, we go into the schools at the request of the tribes and teach sexual abuse prevention. But in my job as a public health nurse, it is not being taught other than by myself or another public health nurse going to another region. There is no curriculum currently within the school district that I work within, the Yukon Flats School District, for sexual abuse prevention.
Wow. Melanie, what's being taught here in Anchorage? Is it similar?
No, in Anchorage, we actually have an established curriculum for sexual abuse awareness. We call it our personal safety because it not only deals with sexual abuse awareness, but also making healthy decisions for a lifetime, critical thinking about different ways to deal with different situations. So in kindergarten through sixth grade, we use the Great Body Shop and supplemental materials and partnerships such as STAR to help us convey the message of personal safety. And then in eighth grade, we have Health Again, and we use another set of materials and other partners to again convey personal safety. And in high school, it is through the elective courses.
All right. Julie, you work with very young children, and this is a pretty big topic. It's pretty heavy. How do you approach a kindergartner, a pre-K?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and one I get a lot whenever I'm approaching this topic of conversation. It doesn't have to be a difficult conversation, and it doesn't have to be scary. We approach it very friendly, very age-appropriate. We also very much convey the personal safety and also empowering them with the knowledge that their body's theirs, it belongs to them, and it's very special and it's very important. We use a very basic swimsuit model that your swimsuit covers up your private parts. And it's very simple. If you ask a kindergartner why they wear a bathing suit, they answer that question right away. They're very proud that they have that knowledge, and it's really exciting to see them empowered with that knowledge as well.
Paula, when you start working with kids in the villages where they're not getting this sort of early intervention, what sort of knowledge do the kids come into some of your classes with?
Some of their knowledge is pretty skewed because what is normal to them is not really normal, and a lot of their parents whom I know have had sexual abuse as children and don't really talk about that at all because they haven't dealt with it. So they don't talk to their children about prevention. I mostly work with teens when I go to the village to talk about prevention.
What kind of lessons do you give teenagers?
Actually, I have a Jeopardy game that I made up on healthy relationships. It's really hard, as the other two ladies I'm sure know, to get teens to talk when they're in a classroom situation about a lot of things. But the Jeopardy game seems to really open up conversation. And I get disclosures a lot of times when I do this healthy relationships Jeopardy game. And so that leads to more education. That leads to education itself on sexual abuse.
Do you think it would make a difference if they received education earlier on when they're younger?
I think so. I definitely think so. We don't, you know, within the Yukon Flat School District around the Fort Yukon subregion, they don't even do sexual education. Sex ed is not taught in the schools. So they don't even have the basics down. I mean, some of the questions I get are pretty weird. And what some of the kids believe about sex is pretty weird. So I think and the earlier we can do it, the better. I have done some education with younger elementary schools using that swimsuit model. And that's really an easy thing to do. And it's not any teacher can do that kind of curriculum with their children or teach something like that, at least when they're younger, so that they have an idea of what's right and what's wrong.
Melanie, how do you prepare your teachers for broaching these subjects?
Well, we have standalone health teachers. We are very fortunate in the Anchorage School District to have health class at as early as kindergarten. So we have teacher preparation in services several times throughout the year. They also have access to tons of materials and cohorts and professional learning communities. And so they get a ton of training. And we offer it not only to our own classroom teachers, but also during our summer academy for teachers to any teacher who teaches within the Anchorage School District or even in Mat-Su who might want to come to the Anchorage School District Summer Academy to come and learn about how to broach these subjects with students so that everyone's speaking the common language.
And one of the things that you mentioned as a common language, and you did as well, is the no-go-tell idea. Can you tell me a little bit more about that, Julie?
Absolutely. We often refer to it as the safe touch rule, and we talk to kids about what to do if someone is hurting their body or touching them in a way that's making them feel uncomfortable. And the first step is to say no. And we tell them they can say, no, I don't like that. You can say, no, leave me alone, but you don't even have to give a reason. You're allowed to just tell them no. The next step is to go away to a safe place. And the third and the most important part is to tell a trusted adult. Sometimes kiddos don't get to say no, or they can't say no, or they're not empowered yet to say no. They might not be able to go away to a safe place. It might be happening in their home, but eventually they will be somewhere where there are other trusted adults. Often it is at school, and they can always tell. So that's why we talk about that being the most important step in that safe touch rule.
If a lot of your trusted adults are your parents or your adult figures in your life, but that's where the abuse is coming from, how do you work with kids to get them to know that they can trust other adults?
That's pretty challenging also. Sexual abuse thrives in silence, and often trust is broken in that situation. So we talk to kids about the different places that they find trusted adults, and they're often mandated reporters. And we won't use mandated reporter language with the kiddos, but we let them know that it's their job to help keep kids safe, and you can identify them often because they're in uniform. And so we talk a lot about police officers and firefighters, a lot about the trusted adults in schools, because a lot of times that is a safe haven for kids. So we'll talk about the nurse, the principal, the health teacher, their homeroom teacher, and why it's so important to be able to gain that trust in them. It's pretty amazing for me to go into a classroom and kiddos immediately I'm gaining their trust right away. It's pretty fantastic. And they'll go home or to a teacher and disclose information and say, you know, I really trusted Miss Julie, and she told me it was okay to tell. So it's pretty fantastic.
Paula, do you have similar reactions in the village when you start getting this message out there that people need to tell?
I do. The kids really understand that, I think. And the last time I did a presentation, I had 3 disclosures from teens just within that presentation. And for me to explain, you know, that it wasn't right and that I was a mandated reporter and that the troopers would be contacting them. And that seemed all to be okay with them. They just needed to tell. And I think to get that permission that it's okay to tell is what kids are really looking for.
Do you think that adults in some of the places you've worked are eager to be there to listen and to help out? Or is this a harder conversation to have with older generations?
It's becoming an easier conversation. Let me put it that way. It was hard when I first started doing this about 10 years ago. It was hard for that older population to have that conversation. It's getting easier now that they have the permission to talk too. And that's where we have so much silence within our communities rurally that they were never able to say what happened to them. So they didn't really talk about it. But now they're getting permission as adults. And I think that's making the children feel more comfortable.
Okay.
You know, to talk. Plus, hopefully getting the parents to really start talking to their kids about this is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do to avoid this.
All right. Melanie, when you're working with all of the different teachers, mm-hmm. and we spoke a little bit earlier about how even when I was young, this wasn't a topic you talked about other than in small ways. Mm-hmm. Have you encountered similar things about the teachers being a little uncomfortable or...
Well, I always start off my instruction with new teachers who are coming to this sensitive subject by opening up a kit. And in the kit is an apron that my grandmother wore. And when she would talk about sensitive subjects, such as sexual development and sexual abuse and personal safety, she would put her apron on that she always wore when she was cooking and flip it over her head, and she could talk through the apron because this was not a subject that her generation generally discussed. But she knew that it was important enough to talk, but she was needed that barrier to of safety for her. And so I pose it as that to our new teachers and say, you know, you may be coming from a different place, but the message is consistent and important enough that we need to convey it because safety of our students is a high priority for us. We want all of our students to feel 100% safe. And this is part of that education for them. So learning to come at it from where you are, but to convey the message that it is important to be safe across your lifetime. And this is one part of our personal safety we need to address.
You guys also mentioned that you work a lot with middle schoolers and high schoolers. The conversation's obviously a little bit different at that level. Julie, what are some of the first things you broach with the older kids?
So whenever we're talking to junior high and high school kids, we actually approach it with the sexual assault and consent topic. And so we talk to them about what the law says sexual assault is and what it takes for sexual contact to not be sexual assault, which is consent. And we break that down and we have that conversation with them. And it brings up a lot of questions. It brings up a lot of very serious conversations. Kids and young adults are seeing very skewed things on television and in movies, and really they're not quite sure where they are and where they should be, and you know, how to even have that conversation. This is a conversation that isn't had often from kindergarten through college. And so really opening it up, letting them know that this is something we can talk about, but that's where we approach it from.
And so do you talk about personal boundaries and how to set those?
Absolutely, absolutely. We also do on another presentation, or whenever we're in the classroom again, we do talk a lot about healthy relationships. And we'll ask kids in junior high and high school, who here has been in a relationship? And one or two will kind of awkwardly raise their hand and then like, oh, wait. And then we'll say, well, who has a brother or sister or best friend or a mom or and now who's been in a relationship? And oh, there's all kinds of relationships. And so we have that conversation, not just with romantic relationships, but all across the board. Again, safety in all aspects of your life.
So what do you guys view, what is a healthy relationship? Like, what would you define that as?
I think that goes a lot to the social emotional supports that you have and that a relationship would offer you, and that you're honoring the fact that both of you bring something to a relationship and both of you have the right, especially in a romantic relationship, that you have the right, no matter what time frame your romantic relationship may be in, whether it's an early stage, middle, or late, you always have the right to say no to anything that makes you feel uncomfortable, unsafe, that you should feel supported, cared for as part of a relationship. Just as you would in any other relationship in your family, romantic or familiar or community or friendship, you want to feel safe and supported.
And you mentioned earlier that a class on healthy relationships is part of the electives within the ASD system. If Aaron's Law became law, mm-hmm. those ideas would have to be incorporated throughout
all of the classes, not just as an elective. Are there different ideas of how that could happen?
So Aaron's Law has several different legislative
versions.
Yeah,
they've submitted about four at the moment.
Yes. Right. So depending upon what the version is that goes forward, majority of them say that it needs to be a K-12 mandate. And right now we are mandated K-6 and then 8th grade and electives in the high school. So fitting in whatever the version is and how many lessons and where it might fit is something we need to examine as a district, whether it became part of existing classes or whether it became its own class or whether it morphed into a different way to fit into the student's day would depend upon how much the in-depth they want to go and how many lessons and a lot of details like that. But we really stress that the prevention needs to start before the problem. So that's why it's prevention. So we start kindergarten. It's important to start a conversation about you are healthy, you are well, and you have a body that is yours. And you have the right to be safe at all times. You have the right to be cared for and to care for others and to support others and to be supported by them. And so that's a conversation that needs to start early in order to build that confidence straight through the rest of their life.
And working through the idea of having these healthy relationships throughout your life, Paula, what sort of advice do you give to the youth that you're working with out in the villages if they see something maybe unhealthy happening within a relationship with their friends?
That they really need to talk to their friends about what a healthy relationship is, or if it's a toxic, you know, or really talk to them about how the relationship is toxic to them, what they're seeing within the relationship. And I agree with Julie, consent is the first thing that we teach. When I teach to young adults is consent, and consent is a big thing. And a lot of the kids will tell me that they see things happening to their friends, like he controls who she sees or what she wears, things like that. And we talk a little bit about, well, what would you say to your friend if that happened or when that happens? And I think having a dialogue role play thing while you're teaching helps them become a little bit more comfortable with doing that to their friends or interacting with their friends.
Do you think, Paula, you're working in very small villages and small areas, and having lived in a lot of small areas, I know that, you know, people know everybody's business and people are related. How does that impact people's willingness to bring this up with their relatives and friends?
On the teen level, I think it's easier for them to interact than it is the adults as far as this goes. It is really hard because, like you said, everybody is related to everybody, and sometimes perpetrators are perpetrating on many of their family members within the village, and that gets really hard when you're trying to talk about it. So it's just kind of we have to do it on a village by village or a person by person level, you know, but it's a difficult thing to deal with a lot in the rural areas. And I think that's what makes more of our women a little bit more scared to talk about it, is because if they're talking in a group or talking in a talking circle, well, that guy's sister might be sitting next to them. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they don't like the other people that are there or family-wise. The families don't get along, and they'll talk about them. It is a whole lot different in the rural areas than it is in the urban areas for us.
Julie, what sort of barriers do you see when teaching about these topics here in very urban Anchorage?
Yeah, you know, it's Anchorage is a big city, but it's still a pretty small town. You know, I knew growing up, I couldn't go anywhere and not run into someone who didn't know my family. And it's still kind of very similar to that here. And a lot of the schools I go into and a lot of the places that I teach, there are very tight-knit groups still. And so there's, you know, very similar barriers as to in smaller villages here. Again, it thrives on silence. And if people aren't having conversations about healthy sexuality, it's even more difficult to have a conversation about something that's unhealthy or unsafe. And so that's often a barrier that I see or that I run into. Also, especially with sexual abuse, the perpetrator is telling children not to tell. It's our secret, and it's your fault. And for a kiddo to believe that and feel that, it's really, I mean, that's that's what they're supposed to do, is not tell and to keep that a secret. Again, so it's that silence is still a really big barrier here.
Melanie, within the Anchorage School District, there's so many people from different places who have different cultural backgrounds, and through those different cultural backgrounds, you get different messages about what it's okay to talk about and what it's not okay to talk about. Mm-hmm. How do your teachers, not deal with that, but how do your teachers use that to their benefit and have this conversation with such a variety of children at once?
Right. So we have elementary health specialists who see the children for a comprehensive health curriculum. So it's not just about sexual health or about relationship health. They have developed a relationship with these students across, so the health teacher is the same. Where a classroom teacher, you would get a different one each year. The health teacher remains the same your entire elementary time. So there's 7 years at an elementary school where they can build a relationship where all they're discussing is ways to keep your own personal body healthy. Everything from what your digestive system needs to what your heart may need to what your emotional state may be to what you would need in a relationship. So that kind of a conversation across, I'm here as your teacher to talk to you about how to keep yourself healthy across the band, really helps to open up the broader conversation. And it's factual information and critical thinking skill development. So they kind of reach across the cultures in that we're giving you information about you and how to personally take care of you to make you well for a lifetime. So that when we actually get to the more sensitive topics, we've established that the information we're providing is personal. About how you can make decisions that will be best for your body. And so it's just part of a continued conversation, not a standalone sensitive topic, but a built-in, we're concerned for your entire lifetime of wellness and safety, not just this one component.
So it becomes part of
a culture of its own in relationship to how we relate to each other, which is a worldwide, how do we relate and care and support one another? That is a worldwide concept. And so we're using that as our basis for all our conversations and developing those skills that help someone identify, think critically about what it is they need to make as choices for themselves using information and facts.
Are these, Julie, some of the skills that you're teaching even outside of the classroom and outside of the youth population, like women who have experienced domestic violence? Are these other things you focus on?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, whenever we talk about education and prevention as a really huge focus at STAR, is, you know, Melanie kind of touched on that, is it's prevention. It's kind of stopping these issues before they even happen. So we do have conversations of all ages about safety planning. And again, it's the same thing, how to keep yourself healthy. Let's talk about what we can do to work on personal safety at all ages of all survivors of sexual assault or domestic violence. Definitely.
And Paula, for people out in more rural areas or even here in Anchorage, are there resources that they can access if they don't feel like they have someone that they'd want to talk to directly, or if they want to get the courage to talk to people directly?
Yeah, there are resources. There's call-in lines that people can talk to. We have a shelter in Fairbanks that people can call to and talk to an advocate. And we have a Native advocate that used to be with Alaska Native Women's Coalition. And everybody within the rural area knows who she is, and she knows the village life. And a lot of times they will call her and talk to her about resources, where to go, what to do if they don't want to leave the village. If they're not feeling safe, what are their options?
Wonderful. Are there resources that you direct?
Absolutely. You know, at STAR, the heart of STAR actually is our crisis line. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. This is available, and it's available statewide and nationwide. And you'd be surprised how many people call from all over because of that anonymity, or being able to gain the courage to talk to somebody and having that conversation. So we do, that crisis line is very useful. We even offer that crisis line to kiddos. We let them know that it's there for them also, and they use it. We've had a young kid call and ask the crossword answer to number 15 because Miss Julie said if I had any questions, I could call this number. And they took it very seriously, talked him through the question. You know, we also have advocates. here in Anchorage and one-on-one services that we offer in our offices.
And through the school district, Melanie, do you also sort of make sure that parents are aware of resources and ways to talk to their kids?
We do, and our teachers are also aware and have training surrounding mandated reporting, child abuse and sexual assault awareness curriculums that they have to receive training on yearly so that they are up to date and know how to respond should a child disclose, or just to how to support and what resources available for them to tap into. Our nurses, our health teachers, all our classroom teachers, they're all there to support a student, administration, straight across the board. They're all healthy heroes for us.
Wonderful. I'd like to thank all three of you for being with me here today. We have Melanie Sutton with the Anchorage School District, Julie Dale with STAR, and online Paula Cinero with the State Public Health Department. We also have links to all of these resources online at alaskapublic.org, where you can see the whole show if you missed anything. Thank you very much for tuning in. Have a great evening.
If you have questions or comments about the program, you can email Alaska Edition at alaskapublic.org or write us at 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. Alaska Edition is a production of KAKM. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily represent those of KSKA, KAKM, the licensee, or their underwriters.